海紧缺人才培训工程教学系列丛书，英语中级口译资格证书考试中级口译教程第二版第一盒，由上海外语音像出版社录制出版。
An Intermediate Course of Interpretation, Second Edition。Part 2, A Training Course. Unit 1, Interpreting Conversations. 1-1, Welcome. Text for Interpretation. Interpret the following conversation alternatively into English and Chinese.
欢迎来上海，罗伯茨先生。我是上海邮电服务发展公司海外部主任陈天明。
Nice to meet you, Director Chen. I'm very excited to visit your company and, of course, to tour around Shanghai and the whole country.
您专程从英国赶来，我很高兴。我们为您来此参加工作，成为我部门一员而感到骄傲和荣幸。我真诚地希望您的来访有价值、有意义。
It is indeed my pleasure and privilege to have received your gracious invitation.And work with a distinguished group of people like Director Chen. I had been looking forward to this visit for years. I had a dream that someday I would visit China and work in this beautiful city of Shanghai for a while. I'm very grateful that you have made my dream come true.
您对这次来沪短期工作有如此高的期望，真令人高兴。我们会尽力使您在沪期间过得舒适愉快。考虑到您的方便和舒适，您可以居住在公司的外宾专用别墅。别墅紧挨着海滩，从那里骑自行车15分钟可到我海外部的办公楼。您一定会喜欢的。
That's wonderful. Isn't it nice that not only your overseas department looks over the sea, but also my residence?
罗伯茨先生，我真的很喜欢您的幽默感。您可知道上海这两个字在汉语里的字面意思是海上织布？我们为能够安排英国朋友在临海的寓所下榻而感到骄傲。英国不是海上岛国吗？
I like what you said, Mr. Chen. We have much in common with Shanghai and its people. I believe my wife will like it here too.
我希望您的家人能早日与您再次团聚。我公司会支付包括国际机票在内所需的一切费用。
Thank you so much for your concern. My wife teaches at a university, and the best time for her and our son to come over is when school breaks in the summer. 2 more months. We simply can't wait to see each other here in Shanghai.
真遗憾。您还要等那么久。
You're very nice, Mr. Chen, really.
长途飞行后，您一定很累了。今晚有招待晚宴，您需要休息一下。晚上六时，我派车来接您。
Very good.
我得走了，我们晚上再见。
Bye now. 1-2, A Wish to Invest.Text for interpretation. Interpret the following conversation alternatively into English and Chinese.
您好，罗伯茨先生。
Hi, Mr. Chen. I have been thinking about something lately, and I'd like to share with you my thoughts.
愿洗耳恭听，如能为您效劳，我将很高兴。
In the West,Everybody is talking about going to the East and making an investment. Apparently, a growing number of foreign firms have been pouring into China, and the Pudong area of Shanghai is among the best choices of their investment destinations. Today, it is not a matter of whether to go East But when and how?
您说的完全对。海外人士在上海及其周边地区的投资近年来翻了两番。出现这一高涨不止的投资热有多种缘由。除了中国是世界上经济增长最快的国家之一这个原因外，中国政府和地方政府很重视对外全面开放，不仅开放沿海城市，也开放内地，尽可能吸引外资。另外，许多海外团体与个人投资者认为，在中国直接投资比同中国公司做生意更有利可图。
I'm not sure if I understand the logic behind this preference. I'm all ears to your explanation.
好的，基本情况是这样的。外国直接在华投资可以在最大程度上发挥有关双方的优势。中国幅员辽阔，自然资源丰富，廉价劳动力充裕，税收低，消费者市场不断增长，基础设施不断改善。当然了，我们还有稳定的社会政治环境以及诱人的投资政策。所有这些优势难以在其他国家找到，而来自发达国家和地区的外国投资者则有充足的资金、先进的技术和管理知识。同做进出口贸易生意相比，在华直接投资的经济回报则更高。
You're right. I have friends who are interested in direct investment in China. Do you have any idea of the best place in which to invest?
就我个人来说，我希望你们在上海的浦东地区投资。这倒不是因为浦东是我的家乡，而是因为浦东的确是投资者的理想场所。如果您或您的朋友有兴趣，我可以向你们提供许多研究资料。我也听说过许多关于在中国内地和其他沿海城市进行投资而获得成功的例子。真的很难说哪一个地方为最佳。也许应该说在某一时期的某一地点做投资相对比较为好。
My next question concerns the forms of investment that are allowed in China currently.
投资方式很多，您可以同中方合资办企业，也可以独资办公司。
What are the differences?
投资新办合资企业时，通常外方提供资金、机械、先进技术和管理方法，而中方则提供土地、劳工以及部分用于基础设施建设的资金。至于独资企业嘛，外商提供所有资金，赚取所有利润，同时承担所有风险。您可以选择自己喜欢的方式经营独资公司，当然不可超越中国法律。
Your explanations are very enlightening. If we ever decide to invest in Shanghai,We'd like you to be our Chinese consultant. I hope you won't refuse our offer then.
我深感荣幸，希望能早日为您的投资效劳。
1-3 Establishing a joint venture. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following conversation alternatively into English and Chinese.
罗伯茨先生，很高兴再次见到您。有什么需要我做的吗？
Hi, Mr. Chen. It's been 10 months since I left China. I would like to discuss with you the possibilities of establishing a joint venture with your company to manufacture cordless phones and mobile phones.
好极了，您的投资意向是明智的。我公司也正在寻求外资合办一家生产无绳电话和移动电话的制造公司。您的提议很好。罗伯茨先生，我还记得一年前曾同您讨论过有关外国在华投资的事情。
Yes, you did a good job. The whole idea of my investing in a joint enterprise with your company is the direct result of your wonderful lecture. Your answers were direct and honest, and your explanations were sincere and persuasive. May I get on China's economic express train and share your economic gains?
当然可以。欢迎罗伯斯先生加入我们的行列。我们来讨论一下合资企业的事宜吧。您能告诉我您的设想吗？
I did a lot of research in the market of telecommunications equipment lately. There's a potential market for cordless and mobile phones in China and the world as a whole. Initially, I would like to embark on this joint venture business at a moderate rate and a safe scale. My suggestion for the amount of total capital investment is in the vicinity of $8 million. A lucky number in China, I suppose.
很好，800万岂止是个吉利的数字。我认为这对启动这家合资企业来说是很合适的。那么您在合资中打算占有多少投资比重呢？
My contribution is 50% of the total investment, including the construction funds and the cost of all the imported equipment.And the engineers, technicians, and management staff from my home company.
我对您这个5:5对半开的合伙投资比例感到满意。这就是说，我们在经营管理和利润分配上也保持一种5:5对半开的权益关系。
You're absolutely right.
接下来的问题是产品的营销。无绳电话在中国有很大的需求量，但是我们无法保证在国内推销 50% 移动电话。此外，我们需要增加外汇的储备，天晴还需防雨天吗？我建议贵方负责向海外推销 65% 以上的移动电话，您看如何？我相信您对外汇的需求大于对我人民币的需求。
I love renminbi, and I have heard that the Chinese yuan will become a convertible currency soon. But I accept your proposal, and we will be responsible for the international marketing of 2/3 of the mobile phones.
好极了。
Two more questions. One concerns the term of our partnership, and the other, the management structure of the venture.
至于我们的合作期限，我们可以定为15年。只要双方愿意，合同期满后，我们还可以续签。您意下如何
？That's quite logical. May I suggest that we set up a board of directors for the management of the company and share rights and obligations as equal partners?
正合我的想法。下周我们是否再举行一轮会谈？详细讨论一些技术性问题。
That's fine. I like to work with you, as I did before. It's been a very rewarding day.
收获确实很大。罗伯茨先生，祝您周末愉快。
You too. Sentences in focus. Interpret the following sentences into English or Chinese.
一，我希望您的太太能早日与您再次团聚。我公司会支付包括国际机票在内所需要的一切费用。二，今晚我们为您举行招待晚宴，晚上5:30我派车来接您。三，中央政府很重视全面对外开放，不仅开放沿海城市，也开放内地，尽可能吸引外资。四，由于外国直接在华投资，可以在最大程度上发挥有关各方的优势，所以许多海外机构个人投资者认为，他们在中国直接投资，比同中国公司做生意更有利可图。五，中国幅员辽阔，自然资源丰富，劳动力低廉，税收低，消费者市场潜力大，社会环境稳定，投资政策诱人， 经济回报率高。六，在华投资的方式很多，你可以同中方合资办企业，也可以独资办公司，选择自己喜欢的方式经营，但不可超越中国法律。七，投资兴办合资企业时，通常外方提供资金、机械、先进技术和管理方法，而中方则提供土地、劳工以及部分用于基础设施建设的资金。八，我们来讨论一下建立合资企业的事宜吧。您能告诉我您的设想吗？例如，您打算在合资企业中占有多少投资份额？九，我们之间的投资份额可以对半开，在经营管理和利润分配上也可对半开。十，我们的合作期定为十年，只要双方愿意，期满后我们还可以续签合同。十一，我们的想法不谋而合。十二，我们是否可在下周再举行一轮会谈，集中讨论一些技术性的问题。
13. It is my great pleasure and privilege to have received your gracious invitation and work with a distinguished group of China's automobile specialists.
14. A growing number of American firms have been pouring into China's inland provinces, although coastal cities such as Shanghai and Tianjin are still among their first choices of investment with many foreign investors.
15. I would like to discuss with you the possibilities of establishing a joint venture with your company to manufacture progressive scan DVD home cinema systems of the latest model.
16. I suggest that we should set up a board of directors for the management of the company and share rights and obligations as equal partners. 2. Interpreting Interviews 2-1. Travel in America. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following interview alternatively into English and Chinese. An interview to learn about travel and public transportation in the United States.
据说美国是一个由汽车驱动的国家。美国人实际上是一个生活在轮子上的民族。你认为这是一种夸张的说法吗？
This is basically a correct observation, which says something about the American way of life. Americans like to do business without leaving their cars. Wherever you go, you'll see drive-in banks, drive-in restaurants, drive-in churches, and drive-in movies.
如果我以游客的身份访问美国，我可以在美国境内开车吗？
Yes, you can. When you drive in the U.S., it's a good idea to have an international driver's license if you are a foreigner and don't have a state license. Each of the 50 states of the U.S. has its own traffic laws. Drivers are expected to know and understand the local laws, even if they don't live in a particular state. You can get information when you cross the border into a different state,at a tourist information center.
在中国某些道路上开车，司机必须将自己的行车速度控制在标牌规定的限速内。美国是否也有限速？
Yes. In most states, the speed limit on the expressway is 55 miles per hour, or about 88 kilometers per hour. On some roads, such as state or federal expressways,There is a minimum speed of 40 miles per hour, or about 65 kilometers per hour.
我作为一名出公差来美国的旅行者，可没有必要为了旅行而去买一辆车子。我想贵国一定有某种租车服务行业吧。
Of course we do. This country has the most developed car rental industry in the world. The two largest American car rental companies, Hertz and Avis, have offices all over the U.S., with counters at most airports and in many international cities. Other national car rental companies you can find at airports, such as Thrifty, National, Budget, or Dollar, have offices in other countries too. So you may want to reserve a car through your travel agent in your own country.
那么租车时我以什么方式来付款呢？
In order to rent a car, you have to have a major credit card, such as MasterCard, Visa, or American Express. Without a credit card, you may have to pay a very high deposit on the car. If you don't want to spend a lot of money, you may rent used cars from used car rental companies, such as Rent-A-Junker and Ugly Duckling. Their rates are often lower, and they don't always demand a credit card. Sometimes they have special offers that make the total cost of renting a car even lower.
如果我没有驾照，那我怎样去其他城市呢？
There are three ways to get from city to city without a car. In some places, you can take Amtrak, the National Passenger Rail Service, or you can take a bus. Greyhound is the largest long-distance coach company, which offers the monthly pass. And of course, you can fly. There are dozens of airlines, both regional and national. Prices are not regulated, so airlines can make special offers that are sometimes cheaper than train tickets. There are also shuttle and commuter flights between some major cities that are close to each other.
听说美国城市的公共交通不尽如人意，有没有这回事？
Well, I have to admit that getting around a city on public transportation is generally not as easy as it is in most other countries, but it is possible. Although only a few cities have subways, most towns with a population of 50,000 or more have some kind of city bus service.
万一坐巴士或地铁到不了我想要去的地方怎么办呢？
You can always take a cab. You can stop a cab on the street, but that's not easy in many cities. It's actually easier to call a taxi company listed in the yellow pages of a telephone directory and ask them to send a cab to your door. American taxi drivers will usually expect a tip of at least 10%. In big cities like New York,Cabbies expect a tip of 15%.
十分感谢您所提供的情况。
You're welcome.
2-2. The AIDS epidemic. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following interview alternatively into English and Chinese. An interview with a Nobel-winning microbiologist on the AIDS epidemic.
巴尔的摩先生，艾滋病的传播程度有多严重？
AIDS is the worst plague in modern history. In the 20 years since the first reports of what we now know was AIDS, an entire generation has been born and come of age, never knowing a world without the epidemic. The disease has changed the personal as well as the political.How we think and how we love, what we teach our children, and what words we say in public. On an international scale, it threatens to undermine countries, particularly in Africa. AIDS is now the fourth leading cause of death globally, and the leading cause of death in Africa. Throughout the world, 36 million people are HIV positive,including 900,000 in the United States.
你所说的危害国家生计是指什么？
AIDS has stolen a generation and imperiled the future. It will cause such a significant amount of disease in the Middle Ages of the population that it will largely reduce the number of people available to carry out the functions of the society. In parts of Africa, it's happening already. In 7 African countries, more than 20% of the 15 to 49-year-old population is infected with HIV. For example, Zambia cannot train teachers fast enough to replace those killed by AIDS. Within 10 years, there will be 40 million AIDS orphans in Africa.
你认为我们可以及时改变人们的基本行为，以阻止艾滋病的传播吗？
In time to have a significant impact, yes. I don't think we'll be perfect. People will respond differently. But for the homosexual population in San Francisco, the rate of homosexually transmitted diseases fell dramatically when a serious educational program was put in place. People were obviously willing to change their behavior when they were made to realize how severe a risk they were taking.
对于那些还未受到严重打击的群体，有何措施可以采取呢？能否在大规模的死亡发生之前，也让他们意识到问题的严重性？
It is certainly harder to reach people when they don't see the consequences of what they're doing right around them, or when the consequences are extremely delayed. I guess that's one of the problems with smokers.
怎样才能让人们意识到问题的严重性呢？
Drugs cannot be seen as the ultimate solution. And about $10 billion US dollars a year is needed to fight the spread of HIV. I think a massive educational campaign is the only thing conceivable at the moment that can help. Not to do it would be criminal. To argue that it's difficult and expensive,And therefore we shouldn't do it, would be self-defeating.
调查结果表明，公众中大部分人认为艾滋病患者应该被隔离开来。你的意见呢？
Quarantining will help no one. Most age patients are too sick to be transmitting the virus. The virus is being spread largely by people who do not have AIDS, but are infected with the HIV virus.And they may or may not even know it. Quarantining would be totally futile.
强制性化验有无作用？
I believe it would drive the very people you want to test underground. Voluntary, confidential testing is much more appropriate.
怎样做才能鼓励人们去接受这种令人不安的化验呢？
The only thing you can do is convince people.That they're better off knowing than not knowing. First, because then they can take action to protect their friends and loved ones, and second, because they can begin to interpret their own symptoms and take whatever action available. AIDS is a very serious disease, but it usually reveals its presence through a variety of infections, and many of those infections can be controlled with appropriate drugs.That's the end of Side A. (2-3) Business Management. Text for interpretation.Interpret the following interview alternatively into English and Chinese. An interview with an American manager of a Sino-American joint venture on some of the differences in business communication style and work ethic between the Chinese and the Americans.
您好，杰克逊先生。您在中国已连续工作了三年。您能否谈一下中美两国生意人在商务沟通方式上有何不同之处？
With pleasure. I think there are at least two differences in the way of business communication between Chinese and American businessmen. First, Chinese businessmen tend to have business negotiations in a rather indirect manner, as opposed to the more direct manner of American businessmen. The Chinese take time to learn if their prospective business contacts are really reliable, for example, by inviting them to a party and socializing with them. In contrast, the Americans act with the get-down-to-business-first mentality. Second, the decision-making process of Chinese companies is generally slow and time-consuming. This is because most Chinese companies keep to the bottom-up, then top-down and then bottom-up decision-making principle, which involves many people at different levels. American companies, on the other hand, usually operate with quick decisions made by the top management. I hope American businessmen in China will understand these differences in business practices and adjust to the Chinese way.
美国式的经营之道在我们中国人看来常显得咄咄逼人。您在与中国同事的合作中有无注意到这一点？
Well, we are more direct and straightforward than most Chinese, I would say, due to our different cultural traditions. I noticed that a lot of Chinese often avoid saying a clear no just to be polite. Sometimes my Chinese colleagues say yes, not to express agreement, but only to show that they are listening.
我们都应该承认这些文化差异，尊重这些差异，以免产生误解。这很重要，不是吗？
Yes, understanding these differences, I believe,will be a first step toward establishing a firm business relationship between American and Chinese companies.
刚才您提到了中国式的决策过程，您认为这种管理模式有无优点？将其与美国式的管理模式相比，您有何看法？
I would say the American type, or the top-down management, emphasizes efficiency and competition among workers,while the Chinese-type management gives priority to careful planning and encourages cooperation among workers and between workers and the management. Thus, while the American-type management often frustrates many workers, the Chinese-type management gives workers a joy of participation and fulfillment and a sense of pride in their work.
谈到员工的工作态度，中国人和美国人在这方面有何不同？
I think most Chinese view work as essential for having membership in a community. They believe that work allows them to have the sense of belonging to a community. In other words, work is necessary for them to gain social acceptance in the society. That is why many Chinese managers and employees work so hard to maintain their positions in their companies.Also, they see work as the most important thing in life. That is, they have tried to find the meaning of life through their jobs. While the Chinese work ethic is based on social pressure and community belonging, the American work ethic seems to be more individual-oriented. Traditionally, we work because it is the will of God.And we often value the results and accomplishments of work more than its process. By the way, I am very impressed by the obvious strong sense of dedication to the jobs among the older Chinese employees.
回到我们一开始的话题，您如何评价中美两种不同经营之道的利弊？
It's difficult to decide which is better than which, because there are some merits and demerits.To both types of management. My suggestion is that people of both countries should learn from each other. I will say that in recent years, the merits of the Chinese way, or rather the Oriental way, of management are beginning to be recognized by an increasing number of people in the West. This more humane Oriental way of management seems to offer a great deal to the executives of our American industries.Sentences in focus. interpret the following sentences into English or Chinese. 1. This is basically a correct observation, which says something about the American way of life.
2. Each state has its own traffic laws, and a driver from another state is expected to know and understand the local laws.
3. My country has the most developed car rental industry in the world, so you may very well want to reserve a car through your travel agent in your own country if you intend to drive while traveling in my country.
4. Airfare in this country is not regulated, and airlines often make special offers in order to attract customers.
5. It's actually easier to call a taxi company listed in the yellow pages of a telephone directory and ask them to send a cab to pick you up at your doorstep.
6. In the 20 years since the first reports of what we now know was AIDS, an entire generation has been born and come of age never knowing a world without the epidemic.
7. A massive educational campaign is the only thing conceivable at the moment that can help. To argue that this campaign is difficult, expensive, and therefore impossible would be quite self-defeating.
8. We'll have to convince people that they're better off knowing than not knowing the fact, because they can take whatever action available to treat the problem and control its infection with appropriate drugs.
9. I think Chinese businessmen tend to have business negotiations in a rather indirect manner, as opposed to the more direct style of American businessmen, who are said to work with the get-down-to-business-first mentality.
10. The Chinese-type management encourages cooperation among employees, between the labor and the management, and gives employees a joy of participation and fulfillment, as well as a sense of pride in their work.
11. I think most Chinese try to find the meaning of life through working in their jobs, and view work as essential for having membership in a community. Put it another way, they regard work as a prerequisite to gain social acceptance in the community.
12. 听说美国城市的公共交通可不尽如人意，有没有这回事儿？ 13. 司机在高速公路上开车时，必须将自己的行车速度控制在标牌规定的最高限速与最低限速之间。14. 调查结果表明，许多人对艾滋病的传播不以为然。你认为我们怎样做才能让人们意识到问题的严重性呢？ 15. 美式经营之道在我们中国人看来常常显得咄咄逼人。16. 我们应该承认我们之间的文化差异，应该尊重这些差异，以免产生误解。
Unit 3. Interpreting Ceremonial Speeches. English-Chinese Interpretation. 3-1. Revisiting the Old Haunt. Text for Interpretation. Interpret the following passage from English into Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, permit me first to thank you, our Chinese hosts, for your extraordinary arrangements and hospitality. My wife and I, as well as our entire party, are deeply grateful. In the short period of 6 days, we have gone a longer distance than the world-renowned Long March. We have acquired a keen sense of the diversity, dynamism, and progress of China under your policies of reform and opening to the outside world. My wife and I have a special regard and personal friendship for the people of China. Beijing is for us an old and nostalgic home. During our stay here 10 years ago, we spent a great deal of memorable time with the people here, working, shopping, sightseeing, and touring the city on our bicycles. During that time, we never experienced anything other than the utmost courtesy and genuine friendship of the Chinese people. Those were happy days. They were good days, important days. We were part of the dramatic process which brought us back together and set us on the road to a genuine friendly and cooperative relationship. Our friendly and cooperative ties have become extensive, affecting all aspects of our national lives, commerce, culture, education, and scientific exchange. I am most proud of the large number of Chinese students being educated in exchange in my country. I myself teach some of them and see the benefits that come from this exchange. At the same time, we are learning valuable lessons from you. Nonetheless, problems remain in our economic, education, and strategic relations. While we are not so naive as to believe that there are no issues of difference between us, I also believe that our differences are greatly overshadowed by issues which bind us and strengthen our relationship. As a former government leader and now a private citizen, I recognize that many of the burdens and opportunities of our relationship have now passed to the non-governmental sectors of our two societies, to individuals, our corporations, universities, research institutes, foundations, and so on. There is no doubt that our relations have reached a new stage. In this context, it is important for our two societies to search for areas of cooperation which clearly add to our mutual benefit. My visit is a symbol of the good faith with which we seek to build up the strength of our friendship, our cultural and commercial ties, and our important strategic relationship. Events of the past decade have confirmed time and time again that our friendship and cooperation will continue to flourish and yield more fruits in the days to come. 3-2. A pleasant trip. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Respected Your Excellency, my Chinese friends, thank you very much for your kind words of welcome. This is a happy and memorable occasion for me personally, as well as for the members of my delegation. To come to China, one of the very earliest cradles of civilization, is, I suppose, the dream of many people the world over. I therefore feel very honored to be your guest. In accepting Your Excellency's gracious invitation to visit this great country, I have had an excellent opportunity to renew old friendships and establish new contacts. When we established our friendly and cooperative relations, we did so on the understanding that we would develop our friendship on the basis of mutual respect and equality and mutual benefit. These are the principles on which we seek friendship with all peoples of the world. It is absolutely vital that all nations, big or small, strong or weak, should conduct their relations with each other on these principles. We therefore welcome the interest and understanding that China has shown regarding the problems of and positions taken by small and developing countries. China's support is a constant source of encouragement to us in the pursuit of the goals of developing and maintaining the independence of our country. It is my sincere hope that we can develop further on the basis of mutual respect and mutual benefit, the links and the friendship that exist between our two countries. As we are both developing countries, having a common aspiration in improving the standard of life of our peoples, I look forward in the next few days to the opportunity of learning something from your endeavors and experience in promoting economic and social development in the service of your people. I'd like to take this opportunity to extend to Your Excellency an invitation to visit my country, so that we will have an opportunity to return the warm welcome and generous hospitality you extended to us. In closing, may I say again how delighted and privileged we are to be in your country. We are deeply grateful for what you have done for us since our arrival in your country. May I propose a toast to the health of Your Excellency, to the health of all the Chinese friends, to our lasting friendship. Cheers.
3-3 Euro-Asian Cooperation. Text for interpretation. Interpret the following passage from English into Chinese. Respected Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, the European Union has adopted a new strategy for Asian affairs. We hereby urge our EU members to efficiently cooperate with Asian countries to establish a constructive, stable, and equal partnership between the two continents. History has proved the necessity to expand cooperative relations between the two continents. Europe and Asia, two major cradles of human civilization, have both contributed to human progress. Since the 1980s, Asia, and East Asia particularly, has witnessed a rapid rise to prosperity. As the world's most robust economic region, the East Asia has attracted worldwide attention over the past few decades with its remarkable achievement. In Europe, a 50-year alliance made the European Union the world's largest trade bloc in the world, with its gross domestic product and foreign trade volume both surpassing those of the United States. In addition, EU nations have unified tariffs and established common foreign trade, agricultural, and fishery policies. The EU has initially established an economic and monetary union. It has, in other words, become a region which enjoys the highest level of political and economic integration. Trade ties between Europe and East Asia have expanded rapidly in recent years. Significantly, East Asia has replaced the United States as the EU's largest export market, with 18% of its exports targeted for the region. However, the European Union continues to lag behind the United States and Japan in terms of market share in East Asia. We realize that the current Euro-Asian economic and trade contacts are a far cry from meeting demands. Ladies and gentlemen, Europe, North America, and East Asia have emerged as the world's three major economic centers. Europe and North America have already established close ties thanks to our historical links. East Asia and North America have also established contacts via the Forum of the Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation. Comparatively speaking, ties between the European Union and East Asia remain relatively weak. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, it is our common desire that Europe and East Asia should resolve differences through dialogues and mutual trust, enhance our cooperative relations, and form a new partnership in the interest of the peoples of our two continents. Ladies and gentlemen, given this historic opportunity, let us work together and forge that partnership, thereby contributing to global peace, stability, and prosperity. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 3-4 A New Long March. Text for interpretation. interpret the following passage from English into Chinese. Mr. President, on behalf of all my colleagues present here, I wish to thank you for the incomparable hospitality for which the Chinese people are justly famous throughout the world. I particularly want to pay tribute not only to those who prepared the magnificent dinner, but also to those who have provided the splendid music. These have been very pleasant days in China, and I'm happy that my visit should conclude in such a congenial atmosphere. Mr. President, I wish to thank you for your gracious and eloquent remarks. At this very moment, through the wonder of telecommunications, many people are hearing what we say today. Yet what we say here will not be long remembered, but what we do here can change the world. So let us start a long march together on different roads leading to the same goal, the goal of building a world structure of peace and justice, in which all may stand together with equal dignity, and in which each nation, large or small, has a right to determine its own form of government, its own course of development, free of outside interference or domination. We have a social and political system which differs in many respects from your own. It is the result of different experiences and a different tradition. This system of ours does not always produce results of which we all approve. People sometimes grumble at it and criticize it. But it is a political system deeply rooted in the instincts of our people. We do not aim to impose our own ideas on other people. We believe that it is right and necessary that people with different political and social systems should live side by side. We do not assess in identical a fashion all aspects of today's world. With our distinct histories, geographies, and cultures, it is inconceivable that we could see eye to eye on all issues. But we do agree on the fundamental need for world peace and the equally fundamental need for all countries to determine their own fate and design their own future. The world watches, the world listens, the world waits to see what we will do. What legacy shall we leave our children? Are they destined to die painfully for the hatreds which have plagued the old world? Or are they destined to live joyfully because we had the vision to build a new world? This is the hour. This is the day for us to rise to the heights of greatness which can build a new and better world. In that spirit, I ask all of you present to join me in raising your glasses to the friendship and cooperation of our two peoples, which can lead to friendship and peace for all peoples in the world. Sentences in focus. Interpret the following sentences from English into Chinese.
1. Permit me first of all to thank you, our host, for your extraordinary arrangements and hospitality.
2. Thank you very much for your gracious words of welcome. This is a happy and memorable occasion for me personally, as well as for all the members of my delegation.
3. To come to China, one of the early cradles of civilization, has long been my dream, and therefore I feel very honored to be your guest.
4. In accepting Your Excellency's gracious invitation to visit this great country, I have had an excellent opportunity to renew old friendships and establish new contacts.
5. I wish to thank you for the incomparable hospitality for which the Chinese people are justly famous throughout the world.
6. We have acquired a keen sense of the diversity, dynamism, and progress of China under the policies of reform and opening to the outside world.
7. I have a special regard and personal friendship for the people of China, in which I never experienced anything other than the utmost courtesy and genuine friendship of your people.
8. Our friendly and cooperative ties have become extensive, affecting all aspects of our national lives, including industry, agriculture, commerce, culture, public health, education, and scientific and technological exchange.
9. I'm looking forward, in the next few days, to the opportunity of learning something from your endeavors and experience in promoting economic and social development in the service of your people.
10. We recognize that our differences are greatly overshadowed by issues which bind us and strengthen our relationship.
11. Our visit to your country is a symbol of the good faith with which we seek to build up the strength of our friendship, our cultural and commercial ties, and our important strategic relationship.
13. It is absolutely vital that all nations, big or small, strong or weak, should conduct their relations with each other on the basis of mutual respect and equality and mutual benefit.
14. History has proved the necessity to expand cooperative relations between Europe and Asia, two major cradles of human civilization.
15. As the world's most robust economic region, China has attracted worldwide attention with its remarkable achievement over the past two decades.
16. It is our common desire that we should resolve differences through dialogues and mutual trust, enhance our cooperative relations, and form a new partnership in the interest of the peoples of our two countries.
17. Given this rare historic opportunity, let us work together and forge our partnership, thereby contributing to global peace, stability, and prosperity.
18. Let us start a long march together along different roads leading to the same goal of building a new world of peace and justice, a world in which all peoples may stand together with equal dignity, and a world in which each nation has the right to determine its own course of development.
19. I'd like to take this opportunity to extend to Your Excellency an invitation to visit Canada, so that we will have an opportunity to return the warm welcome and generous hospitality you extended to us.
20. May I ask all of you present to join me in raising your glasses to the friendship and cooperation of our two peoples.
That's the end of Side B.